You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with our Survivor exit interview, week number 12. We're only 6 days away from the finale, and we had a final six last night on Survivor, and the woman who was voted out was Jamie Lynn Ruiz, who is going to be joining us here in just a couple of moments. She's bringing in her magic wand to tell us about everything that was going on in the game, so looking forward to talking to a very fun character from this season of Survivor here on the Survivor Exit Interview. Later on today, we've got another good one coming your way as Owen Knight will join us on our Survivor recap for episode number 12 of this season. Last night, Steven and I got together on the Know-It-Alls. Of course, you can catch that all in our Survivor podcast feed at robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. We've also got Jordan Kalish coming your way for the final this week in Survivor history for the season coming up after the exit interview. So stick around for that. But I see that we have Jamie here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Hey, Jamie, how are you? Rob Cesternino here and very excited to talk with you. Thank you for being so fun on the Survivor season. I wore a plant shirt for you today, Jamie.
I love it. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing. Last night was fun. I love watching it. I've had a kick out of this entire season. It's hysterical. It's so funny. And I love it. I love it. I'm happy to be here.
Well, yeah, you brought so much joy to the show. And that was very clear watching you all season long. Would love to talk through a little bit about the game. Can you talk us through the decision that you and Lauren made last week to end up working with the Tikas? Because that I think that a lot of people would love to know more about how you decided to work with the Tika 3.
Yes. So last week, we voted, Lauren and I both voted Heidi, because a lot of what hasn't been shown is my relationship with Jam Jam, Lauren's relationship with Carson, and then our relationship as a foursome. We talked a lot of strategy, and Lauren and I were really close with Jam Jam, even outside of the Carson. So we had a lot of trust built there to where it made sense. And if we're looking at it, how are we going to make it to the next day no matter what? Considering we don't know where the idol is and we don't know whatever happened to the Tika idol. So if there's two idols at play, how are we going to protect ourselves and guarantee that we're here? It is splitting the vote with Heidi, putting Heidi down, working with Tika in this case, and guaranteeing that Danny goes home, because our goal was make it to the next day.
So did you and, and Lauren, presumably, was this a big betrayal from Jam Jam and Carson to end up not voting with you at this vote?
From last night.
Last night, yeah.
Yes, because we had thought, you know, they started painting a picture to Lauren and I on why Carolyn was a huge threat, because to us, you know, we had met Carolyn at the merge, and she did a great job at really playing behind the scenes and letting Jam Jam and Carson control the social relationships and then bring the intel back to her. And so if for us, they wanted us to see her as a threat. They described what happened on Tika, and it was like, okay, well, I guess we'll go with the flow and we won't target Carson, but we will target Carolyn if you don't think... You know, if because we're all kind of at this point thinking about final three. And so it was solid. And we also thought that we had Heidi, even though we kind of really had to nurture that relationship. It felt, yes, like a blindside. But as soon as I saw my name come up, I said, okay, it's me. And prior to that, even leaving the island with how Carson, and I told him this, the way that he... Right before we get on the boats to leave, he's like, so we're still, it's still going to be Carolyn, right? And to me, it was like, oh my God, it's me. Like, as soon as he said that, I was like, it's me. Mm-hmm. So it, it did feel like it. Obviously, like, they're playing a great game, and it felt like a betrayal because of how close we were. And I don't think that that's portrayed very well. You know, you don't really see me interacting with Carson or with Jam Jam to know that or hear any of, you know, right. Lauren and I talking.
Yeah, I had gotten a little bit through the show that Lauren and Carson must have been close, but that you and Jam Jam having a very close relationship is a little bit of a surprise.
Yes. Yeah, Jam Jam and I started building our relationship on the day of the merge, that very first sunset, sitting at the Ratu Beach. Jam Jam built a relationship with Lauren and I from that moment. And, you know, it's easy to fall in love with Jam Jam right off the bat. I was like, okay. And he has a great social game, and so I can use him as a shield for my social game because he's brilliant. And so it was very fun to build, you know, he and I were either talking strategy or laughing together. And that's what I love about him.
So can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Heidi and any potential talk about working with Heidi going into last night's vote? Because I think a lot of viewers, myself included, looked at, okay, well, this Tika 3, Heidi's left out of that. Maybe Lauren and Jamie could get something going with Heidi, but it didn't really seem like that was something that was talked about too much.
Yes, that was a part. Lauren and I knew that we needed Heidi on our side. Obviously, we did not know that she had an idol. So we wouldn't have been aware of how we could have leveraged an idol. Mm-hmm. But she was already feeling so alone because we had written her down as a split vote so many times in a row that it was, you know, we kind of burned the wrong bridge over and over and over again, that it became, you know, there was no way that she could trust us. And I don't blame her. I love Heidi. But it made sense. And for her to play that after feeling so alone out there, after Danny leaves and she has no idea, even though it would make sense to vote Carson, but then we're also in self-preservation mode. I understand her self-preservation in not wanting to believe anything that Lauren and I said at that point. It was just too far gone. And which is a bummer because yes, it would have been amazing to be aware of her idol. And then I think if we would have known, we would have been able to say, hey, here's what we can do.
Right. It would have opened up a lot of things. Yes. Now, Jamie, were you aware that so many people didn't believe your story about the idol?
Yes. Because so each person had come up to me individually and said, so before the idol said, okay, let me rewind it.
Please.
Back when I came back at the merge, the first thing that Lauren said to me was, hey, by the way, everybody thinks you have an idol. Matthew told Carson and now Carson's telling everyone. And I said, okay, perfect. So everybody thinks I have an idol. And I needed to figure out how I was going to navigate that target on my back. And so with that information, everybody kind of came up to me individually like, hey, by the way, you have a target, but you have an idol. So kind of, can they work with me and can we leverage the idol together? And, or, you know, so at first I was denying it like, no, I don't have an idol. But then as you see, Kane, Lauren and myself decide to do the advantage swap. I give the idol to Kane. And at that moment in time, it's just Kane who has an absolute verification that I have the idol and Lauren. And so Kane walks out with it. And meanwhile, I'm at Tribal trying not to react at all and thinking like, okay, how do I get myself out of this? Because am I going to be honest or do I just pretend like it never happened and just say like, I don't have an idol. Who knows about the idol? And so I'm kind of like thinking this by all the while trying not to react at that Tribal Council. And then we get back on the beach and I have this dilemma of, do I tell everyone, am I honest or do I just... like, how am I going to dig myself out of this because everybody's telling me that I'm a target and my strategy is going in there is literally managing my threat level at all times. Like, I don't want anybody to ever think of me as a target or as a threat at all. And so because of this, it's like, what, like the worst thing that could happen is somebody knowing that you have an idol on Survivor. And so to me, it was like, okay, well, everybody already knows they're coming up to me individually. So I'm just going to admit it and then tell them exactly what happened. And see if they believe me. But me putting myself in their shoes, I knew that it would be an unbelievable story. As I mentioned, there's no way, like you guys are probably thinking like, no. So I kind of thought that it was questionable. And then again, everybody comes up to me individually. Hey, by the way, nobody believes your story. Hey, by the way, nobody believes your story. And so for me, it was, I was going to make it public knowledge. Like, by the way, we're all individually talking about this. So guys, let me tell you the truth about the idol so that we can save our breath and our energy here. I don't have the idol anymore. And it walked out with Kane. So I thought that I was kind of, you know, eliminating multiple conversations from happening because at that point I thought that, you know, that they would believe me, but I kind of knew that they didn't. So yeah, it was a wild ride with that idol.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Speaking of the idol, what was your reaction to eventually finding out that it was not the genuine article?
Oh my gosh. I was shocked. Like it instantly, you just rewind in your mind, like every single moment, because an idol does so much to your individual game and you are running scenarios as if you have an idol.
Yeah.
And it's wild to know that I could have been part of a really iconic moment by playing a fake idol. Kind of sad that that didn't happen because as much as people are like,
for us, not oh. for you.
Yeah. Like, I wanted to see it. I wanted to see me play a fake idol. Okay. Like, and I wanted to laugh with everybody else about me playing a fake idol. And it would have been hilarious to play the fake idol and to have that moment because I think I would have like given the fake idol and then just passed out like, oh my gosh, like what?
What do you
because
mean? Yeah.
Yeah, you're running as if and as if everybody and everyone, there was no reason for anyone to ever think that this idol was not real. And there was only one moment in time when I first found it. And like after like one of my first confessionals, it was like, wait, is this real? Let me just run it back. I don't think anyone would have had time to make a fake one. It was like an inkling, like a split second thought, and then it just disappears because you can't let stuff like that take over your mind. It was like, yep, nope, it's real, and I'm running with it. I have Nidal. What can we do with it, guys? Let's play. You know, so it was a wild, wild Idol ride.
For sure, for sure. So could you tell us a little bit more about some of the things that were happening in the game from your perspective that we haven't seen highlighted in the show so far?
Yes. So I have a relationship with Lauren, which I wish, you know, a lot of those conversations would have been shown because, you know, going back to, obviously we were wrapped too strong. So the Matt vote, I felt very confident with, and, then going to Ratu leaving, and then Franny leaving. Franny was a target of ours from like the moment that Kane left. We said Franny's going next. And we needed to position ourselves in a way to do that. But we knew we had to convince the Tika 3 to keep Carolyn out of the conversation because it would have been blown up. We had seen it happen before. And so inserting that information to Tika to make sure that they do not tell Carolyn, and then throwing Carolyn and Heidi off and throwing Carolyn off so that she is she's questioning her own alliance in the Tika 3. So we threw out Lauren, threw out Heidi's name so that that would happen. And then the decision to not include Heidi so that Heidi and Danny would still be, would have a riff. So this was all by design, and we're celebrating and we're discussing this is going to be our play. Obviously that's not how it unfolds for, you know, what the audience sees, but it was a really exciting time because it was like, yes, we have another one, Franny. And who do we want next? Let's pick Danny. And Lauren and I had such a tight relationship that it was like, when we zoomed in on a target, that's what was going to happen.
Yeah.
We didn't have to discuss it much further, but we just knew what our role was going to be in making that happen. And for her, it was like, you know, the Women's Alliance is hilarious, but it's not going to happen because we had another target in mind. And that was Franny, as you know, we all saw what a great player she is and a challenge beast.
Last week, did you and Lauren know that Heidi had written down Danny's name, and did you hold off of telling him?
Yes, we wanted to just kind of witness how this was going to unfold and hear what Heidi was going to tell him. And then it was the race to tell Danny. So to kind of like sprinkle that idea in his mind, we see Jam Jam doing it on the television. But then at each point, we all had sprinkled that into his mind, like, hey, by the way, it was Heidi. And it became an ongoing joke with the way that Heidi described one of her votes being Franny with a little E, which, and I love Heidi so much. And it was just a fun, memorable thing, but she was going to stick to that. And that specific vote, Lauren and I went into tribal very confident. We knew where every single vote was going and what it was going to do to the game.
Okay. Also, Jamie, you made Survivor history this season. You were the first player to ever hit the shot in the dark. Do you have a tip or a trick other than having a magic wand?
Oh my gosh, my magic wand. I think that leverage your resources when you know you need to. And at that moment in time, I was the biggest target. All of the guys said, hey, the girls are voting you out. By the way, you're going to be the first one gone. The girls said, hey, by the way, the guys are voting you out. You're going to be the first one gone. And I said, okay, well, I'm playing my shot in the dark. Just so everybody knows, I'm playing my shot in the dark. And I want to make it public so that you guys can talk amongst yourselves. Brandon looks pretty safe. He didn't bring his bag to tribal. So he's either going to play his idol or he has the numbers to be safe. And so so I think that it's just knowing when to play it, always betting on yourself and leveraging it when you need to, so that you're using every single tool and resource that you have available to you at the time, especially when you are the number one target going into tribal.
Okay.
And you don't want to be the first out.
Last thing, super quick. I know you got to run. Did you keep eating worms the whole way through, or was that a one and done?
It was a one and done. bad.
Yes.
I mean, was it two or three? I think I ended up eating three worms, got enough protein, and then we found these little nuts that we would eat, and that was enough protein to kind of get us to at least to the point where we got rice.
Great. Well, Jamie, thank you again for spending some time talking about your game. Super fun to watch. All the best outside the show, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Jamie.
You too. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. There was Jamie, and she was sort of fun to talk to as well, as you would expect. And, you know, some interesting insight in terms of her relationship with Jam Jam, which we really didn't get to see highlighted too much on the show. I think that maybe that will update some things in our jury calculations as we are trying. Well, the last season, you know, I did a whole sequence. I think it was with Mike Bloom where we went through every jury's and we were so wrong. So it is very hard to predict how the jury is going to react. But I do think that maybe if Lauren's not there, we might have to be assuming that Jamie is a Jam Jam vote if he ends up in the final three. All right, we know that Jordan Kalish is going to be here with us in just a moment. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jordan Kalish with the all finale edition of This Week in Survivor History right after this.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. All right, everybody, here we are back with the man who's been with us all season long and here for the Twitch season finale. It's the great Jordan Kalish.
We're doing it, baby. I am back. Another week, another Twitch. We're here and it's the last one of the season. It's bittersweet because I know it's going to be a fun one, but I also know the next time I talk to you won't be until season 45. Well,
we'll probably talk. We'll talk on a podcast, on a Twitch. Maybe not on a podcast, but I just want to let you know what a special place you hold in our family, because that my children have started eating the everything bagels. And so the seeds baby has been passed down to another generation of podcasters, Jordan.
I am happy I could have such a nutritional effect on your family.
Are there a lot of nutrition in the seeds? I feel like it's probably bad
not
for you, right?
Really. But everything bagels are not very good for you. Mm-hmm. And as someone who will go through like 2 week stretches of eating only everything bagels for breakfast, probably not the greatest idea in the world, but they taste good. So
okay. All right. Well, I am up for everything that you have planned. So why don't we jump in? Hopefully I don't score a bagel this week like last week.
I hope not. Yeah. Last week you are coming off a loss, a rare loss this season. So
my head was in Toronto.
You're headed. That's okay. You're back in the U.S. And you are here to answer questions. And these are, since this is the Twitch finale, it's not finale week on Survivor 44. We are in the penultimate week of 44. But since it's the Twitch finale, we are going to be talking about finales from Survivor history and throw out the this week in Survivor history technically, okay, because I decided to include all the finales. Any finale is fair game.
Any finale, even the odd numbered ones.
Even the odd-numbered ones, we're going crazy today, Rob.
Okay.
We're going to start with the Twitch list. And here is the list. 17 players in Survivor history have cast the lone jury vote for a finalist. You have to name as many of these players as you can. So this is somebody who voted for somebody who only received one vote at a final tribal council.
Okay. So I'm naming all the people that were one vote people. Is that?
It's not the one vote people. It's the people who voted for the one vote.
Who voted for the one vote people?
It's not easy. It's a hard question.
Yeah. Am I getting a list of all the one vote people and who the one vote are, or I have to go through every season in my head and figure out what are all the seasons where somebody got one vote and then figure out who?
So Here's what I have prepared. I do have all the one vote people.
Yeah.
I think if it's too hard, if we discover that this is impossible or it's taking too long, I will give you the one vote people.
Yeah. Why don't you give me the one vote people? Because this isn't the freaking SATs and, you know, I'd have to like really do some work on this.
All right. So this is going to be, you're going to get 1 point for a correct answer and 0 points for an incorrect answer. We're going to start with an easy one. This is the first time a friend of yours actually made Survivor history, Rob. Matthew was the first player in Survivor history to only get one vote at the final tribal council. Who cast the vote for Matthew?
It was Butch, but, you know, he could have had two.
Could have had two. Who was the other one? Yours?
No. I mean, maybe like in another world, maybe he has two. But one for Matthew from Butch.
Okay, that is correct. Starting off with a softball. And the next one in Survivor history, Pearl Islands, Lil. Who cast the vote for Lil?
I believe the one vote for Lil was from Tawana.
Tawana Bradley is correct. Those are the two from the single digit seasons. And now we go to Survivor Palau. Kobe was the only person to vote for. Here's what I did.
The answer is Kobe.
The answer is Kobe. You were going to get this. I'll give you a point that he was the only one. Tell me who was he voted for. Katie Gallagher. Here's what I did. Instead of writing.
Oh, we all
Kobe's
know what you
name,
did. Yeah.
Oh, no, you don't know what I did. It's worse than you think. Because instead of writing Kobe, I wrote Palau. Instead of writing Katie, I wrote Kobe. So I'm giving you the point because you would have got it. Good job. Okay. Who was the one person who, in Survivor Guatemala, my favorite season, voted for Stephanie LaGrossa?
The one vote for Stephanie, I believe, is from Rafe.
That is correct. Now we're going to go to Survivor fans versus favorites. Who is the player who voted for Amanda?
I believe the one vote for Amanda is Ozzy.
It was Eric.
Oh,
wait a second. That's wrong. What is this?
Hold on. What the hell is this?
No, because multiple people voted for Amanda. I don't know what's going on with this list because, that one I'm just throwing out because there were multiple votes for Amanda.
Okay,
I don't know.
This game will be filed under protest.
Oh, no. Okay.
You're thinking of China. You're getting China.
I wrote 16. Okay. Yes. Who was the only voter who voted for Amanda?
The only vote for Amanda in China, was it, this is tough. I'm going to say, was it Goat Boy Eric?
I literally gave you the answer. Yes, it was Eric. That's why I also thought it was Mark Micronesia, because there was an Eric on both of those seasons. So they cast two seasons in a row with Amanda and an Eric.
You're not drinking before these, are you?
No, maybe afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is, I know, correct. Survivor Redemption Island. We have Philip. Somebody cast a vote for Philip.
Okay. It is Ralph.
Ralph Kaiser is correct. And we're going to go three seasons later to Philippines. Who cast the lone vote for Lisa Welchel?
The lone vote for Lisa Welchel is from Boy, this is, I think I'm going to say it was from Abby Maria.
Abby Maria is incorrect. Oh. It was actually former Miss Survivor, R.C. Sandamore.
R.C.
was the vote for Lisa Welchel.
Okay.
In that same tribal council, somebody made the big mistake of voting for Mike Scoopin. Who voted for Scoopin?
Somebody gave Mike Scoopin a vote. Well, I know. Yeah, I don't think it was Artis.
Definitely wasn't.
Could it have been Pete?
It was not Pete. It was not Cardis.
Carter.
It was not Artis. It was Carter. Yes.
Carter.
Carter is Rusty. You don't get it. You don't get a point for that one.
Okay.
This is kind of a famous
one.
Who cast the lone vote in Blood versus Water for Monica? For Monica?
I believe it was Vetus.
Yes, did it for Monica because he wanted Jervis to come in third. Okay, season 28, Kagiyan, we have Wu.
The one vote for Wu was from Tasha.
Miss Foxy Tasha is correct. And talking about Miss Foxy Tasha, we now have Missy in season 29.
The one vote for Missy, I believe, has to be from Baylor.
You won. Yes, Baylor, her daughter, voted for her. She voted for her mom.
Drive. Love you, babe.
Everyone talks about Sierra voting for her mom. No one talks about Baylor voting for her mom. We have Mama C only got one vote.
Yeah,
I will tell you this. If I were on the Worlds Apart jury, I would have voted for Mama C.
Okay.
Who did actually vote for Mama C?
I believe it was from the, as Marianne corrected me the other night, fan favorite game changer, Sierra Dawn Thomas.
Fan favorite game changer, FF, SDT, GC game changer, Sierra Dawn Thomas is correct. The next one is same tribal council who voted for Will Sims. Will Sims got a jury vote.
I believe his Will Sims 2 got one vote from Rodney Lavoie Jr.
Rodney Lavoie Jr. was drinking the Will Sims Kool-Aid. He also drinks other things.
Okay.
And we're
come on.
Gonna go on. We have four more. We're going to go to Ryan
Speaking
Ulrich.
Of number one votes.
From season 35.
Okay.
Last week we had the poop cannon.
Who is this? Who?
This is Ryan Ulrich, who voted for him in
35. It was from Devin Pinto.
Devin Pinto, who arguably robbed of the win on that season. And then we have all the new era seasons. We have that they've all been 7-1 votes. We have Deshaun. Who voted for Deshaun?
One vote for Deshaun is from Danny.
That is correct. We have Mike Turner in season 42.
Jonathan
Young. And then we go to Cassidy in season 43.
The one vote from Cassidy is from James Jones.
Yes, substitute know-it-all, James Jones. That is correct. You only, I believe, did you get one
Philippines,
wrong?
Philippines. Got two wrong in Philippines.
That's right. So you get 15 points on that question. You're out. You have 15 out of a possible 17. Doing very well. That's right. I gave you the Kobe Palau, which I knew you would have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
That is so good job. Only 2 points lost in that question. That was a lot. And you did it. So here is what we are doing now. We have one more game before we're getting to the verbal rebus, the last verbal rebus of the season, which is what everyone's been waiting for. So each of the finalists that I am going to list received anywhere from 2 to 12 jury votes on the respective seasons of Survivor. However, none of them received the same amount of votes. You need to plug each player into the number of votes they receive from 2 to 12. There is one dummy vote total within that range, which no contestant has ever received. So you must leave that one blank. I will list the 10 players in chronological order. So you're going to get 10 players and the vote totals are going to be for every number from 2 to 12, with the exception of one number. All right.
Okay.
You got the rules.
Yeah.
You'll have a chance to lock it in. If you lock it in, I will tell you how many you have wrong. Hopefully it's zero. Here are the players, and I'm going to give you the players in chronological order from how they pulled, from when they played. You ready to hear the players?
Yeah.
All right. We have Kim Johnson from Survivor Africa. We have Chris Daugherty from Survivor Vanuatu. We have Todd Herzog from Survivor China.
Okay.
We have Coach from South Pacific. We have Kim Spradlin from One World. Cochran from Karamoan. Jeremy Collins from Cambodia. Wendell from Ghost Island.
Hold on. Okay. Jeremy.
Yep. Jeremy Cambodia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's Jeremy? Wendell from Ghost Island. Chris Underwood from The Edge of Extinction, and we have Tony from Winners at War. Not Kagyan, Winners at War, Tony. And you're okay. Listing from 2 to 12. 2 is the lowest, 12 is the highest, and there might be one. There is one in between that okay. is actually not
a correct answer. I'm going to say just off the bat, I think 11 is the dummy vote. I think that if I had to guess, I think that Tony is going to be the 12. I think Jeremy is the 10. So let me just cross some people off as we go.
Yes, I'm taking notes as you're saying.
Okay. Was Kim Johnson a 2? I think so. Cause I feel like that she didn't come up in the, why was it she was 6 to 1, but I guess she got Brandon and maybe, Kelly Goldsmith. So I'm going to say, Kim Johnson is the 2. I think that Todd is the 4. Let me just put that right there. Was Coach the 3? Okay, let me see. Let me just pencil these in, and then I'll take a look at them. We have Cochran. Is he? He might be 9 or 8. I feel Chris Underwood was 9, and then maybe Cochran might be 8. And then Kim Spradlin might be 7. And then Chris would be 5 or 6. And then we have Wendell. So are we counting the Laurel tiebreak vote for Wendell? I guess we have to, right?
A tiebreak. I could tell you the rules. A tiebreak vote for a contestant would count in the total.
Okay. All right. So then for the sake of brevity, let me tell you what I got here. Okay. I have Kim Johnson had 2 votes. Coach had 3 votes. Todd Herzog had 4 votes. Chris Daughtry had 5 votes. Wendell had 6. Kim had 7. Then I have Cochran has 8. Chris Underwood has 9. Then Jeremy Collins has 10. Nobody has 11. And Tony has 12.
Okay. Are you locking it in?
Lock it in.
We've locked it in.
I can tell you. I can tell you where I'm where I'm the most unsure.
What are you the most unsure about?
I think that I think I could have Cochran and Chris Underwood backwards, and potentially Todd and Chris. But I think I feel better about that one.
Okay, so I will tell you how many you have wrong.
Okay,
I will tell you that you are incorrect. Kelly Goldsmith did not vote for Kim Johnson.
Okay.
It was Kim Powers and Brandon. But you were correct 100% on the game. Good job. You did it. So this is definitely a win. You got 15 out of 17 on the first on the first game. You got a perfect score on the second game. You are not the rafting persona queen. You did not suck on that game. Great job. Way to end the season. We're going to the verbal rebus, baby.
Going strong.
We're doing
okay.
It. Yep. Going into the next season with the win. This is essentially the Twitch World Series, right? It's the last game of the season. Mm-hmm. You knocked it out of the park, Aaron Judge style. You didn't even have to look to your first base coach to do it. Great job. Okay. The verbal rebus. The only original Lamina, which was the older men tribe, to not make the merge.
The only original, I believe it was Dan.
Dan, plus the location of Penner's infection that got him medevaced from Micronesia.
Knee.
Yes, plus the type of transportation device that got Pat Cusack medevaced from David versus Goliath.
Boat.
Plus, David, you're blank.
Right. Danny Boatwright.
Danny Boatwright, winner of another Survivor winner, Guatemala. Hey, I had to look.
Hey,
if
the fall
I told
is
you
right around the corner. It's Guatemala season, yeah, baby.
It is. We are getting the Survivor Guatemala season. I'm like the Mariah Carey of Guatemala Christmas. We have Danny Boatwright. And that is correct.
Yeah.
I was suspending
September
the rules.
1st, Jordan Kalish is going to pop up.
Yeah.
Doing the pancake, yeah.
Do the pancake, baby. Do the pancake. I'm the king of rock and roll, and I'm here to bring the Guatemala cheer.
Yep. Okay. All right. Jordan, where can people keep up with you?
You could follow me on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. As always, doing the Survivor viewing parties. I might be in Brooklyn for the next one, but still, look, every season I'm hosting parties in Manhattan. Always a lot of fun. So that's where you could find me if you want any more information. Always feel free to reach out. This was a great season of Twitch. Rob, thank you as always for having me. I love doing these. I love having the chance to ask you trivia questions, and I love the feedback that I get every week.
All right.
So awesome job with the win, and can't wait till 45, baby.
Can't wait till 45, Garrett Cole. 45. By that point, what are the Jets to be 3-0, you think?
At least.
At least. All right, Jordan. Thank you so much. A great job once again this season. Okay, take care.
Thank you. Talk to you soon, Rob.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Jordan Kalish for another season back here on, it's put it in the history books, another season of Jordan Kalish on the podcast. Of course, I've got Owen Knight coming up. So much to do in the Survivor podcast feed. All of the other shows are going to be having their pre-finale episodes. robisatwebsite.com/survivorfeed. We will also next week, of course, have our interviews with all of the final five coming your way right here. So thank you so much for joining us for the exit interview today and all season long. I'll be back with Owen later on Thursday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.